The post-9/11 fallout dominated much of the U.S. news in 2002. From Afghanistan to Manhattan, the U.S.-led global war on terror was, by far, the top story of the year. But outside of the U.S., a host of other issues generated headlines. This week, we reflect on a few of the top stories from around the globe in 2002. We begin in Afghanistan.
Every 6 months, the International Peacekeeping Force in Afghanistan rotates leadership. In June, Turkey assumed responsibility of the nearly 5,000 foreign soldiers in Kabul. The transfer of power was more than ceremonial. Turkey is the only Muslim nation of the nearly 20 countries with peacekeepers in Afghanistan. Alistair Wanklin visited Afghanistan earlier this year and filed this report on the tasks and challenges facing the peacekeepers as the nation returns to self-sufficiency.
In the bustling, dusty streets of Kabul's central bazaar, shops are piled high with kitchenware, folded cloth, and baskets of children's toys. And in the narrow, muddy streets, a crush of people. Swept along are three Dutch soldiers. They have radio earpieces and look like they could mean business. But shopkeepers smile as the soldiers pass, and chattering youths push round them in a show of amusement and welcome. 6 months into the life of the International Security Assistance Force in Kabul, people respect the ISAF soldiers, according to the Afghan leader Hamid Karzai, speaking at a military parade.
As a big tribute, Afghan people feel secure with them. And I congratulate ISAF for that kind of tremendously nice work.
Nations contributing troops are monitoring efforts to keep the peace. So far, there's positive progress to report. Afghanistan has a government and aid is reaching the people that need it. Britain's Prime Minister Tony Blair said ISAF's stabilizing presence has allowed Afghans to make greater progress than expected.
I think if we were to look back on the past, 8 or 9 months in relation to Afghanistan, my goodness, we've come a lot further than people could possibly have thought.
But 6 months of stability doesn't mean things will stay this way. There's tension in some areas as warlords are jockeying for influence in towns and along the country's few but lucrative truck routes. Worldwide, some states and organizations argue the security force should extend now to roads and cities beyond Kabul. But under its current mandate and size, ISAF is restricted to the capital.
The ISAF force at about 4,700 is simply insufficient to extend security further in the country.
At Britain's Royal Institute of International Affairs, security analyst Roy Allison says expanding ISAF and giving it more of an enforcing role would cost host nations financially and perhaps politically.
The requirements would be for a force at least 30,000 strong. And the United Nations itself and a number of countries have wished an expansion of the force to such numbers, but the United States is strongly opposed to this, and in practice I think European countries also are not prepared to commit the troops.
Yet some of those nations that don't want to commit their troops to a broader deployment are contributing in other ways. By helping to train, equip and pay the soldiers and policemen in Afghanistan's own nascent security structures. On the military parade ground, foot soldiers are encouraged to develop an allegiance to the state. That's a big leap for many of these young men, whose identity and values were shaped in childhood less by schoolbooks and more by whichever warlord was dominant locally. It's hard work converting fighters more accustomed to tribal or factional politics into servants of the Afghan state. But the progress is there, according to the former commander of ISAF, General Sir John McCall.
I think we do need to remember that only a few months ago this was a country at war. It's had 23 years of conflict, so we're not going to move from a situation of extended conflict to complete peace and stability overnight. This is going to take some time, and to expect anything else I think is unreasonable.
Britain initially commanded the ISAF, but Turkey has since assumed administrative control. Turkey is closer in religion, ethnicity and language to many Afghans. This means Turkish commanders are a more comfortable fit than, say, non-Islamic British officers. Roy Allison of the UK Royal Institute of International Affairs says Western nations have high expectations for the Turkish administration.
I think the Turks, representing a model of a secular Muslim government, it provides also the degree of Muslim identity that in a force of that kind that is considered to be safe for the outside community. At the same time, Turkey's far enough away not to be able to really directly meddle in the internal affairs of Afghanistan, which might be a worry with some directly adjacent countries.
Back in the Kabul bazaar, the smartly clothed Western peacekeepers continue to keep a watchful eye for signs of trouble. Worldwide, many nations agree that it was a mistake to abandon Afghanistan once, after the Soviets pulled out at the end of the 1980s. The ISAF brigade is one pledge to avoid repeating the same mistake. I'm Alistair Wanklin for Common Ground in Kabul, Afghanistan.